Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, students, or good morning, that is. Welcome to our lesson summary review for today. Today we're going to be continuing with our lesson review of the course Cornerstones of Truth, which is one of the courses in our Bachelor's in Practical Ministry degree program. Today's review is going to be dealing with session number 9, which is the Scriptures, God's Written Revelation. Now, this session will give the students a greater appreciation of the Bible. It should also impress upon you that the Scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they are to be the final authority in all matters of faith and conduct. We should also be reminded as we study today that we want to emphasize that certain principles that must be followed in order to interpret the Scriptures correctly. So we're briefly going to talk about that. You'll find out more about that principle in the course, How to Study the Bible. But we're going to briefly touch on that today. So again, as we always do, students, we know that prayer is essential to effective learning and teaching and preaching. And so I ask each and every one of you now to take a moment to pray that God will give you a greater love for His Word. In fact, a love that's greater than you've ever had before as you study. And we ask God to give us a fresh awareness of God's written revelation to us. In addition, we want to pray for every one of the students and staff members of Grace Bible College and Seminary that we will all have a great love for the Scriptures, and that we'll be moved with a great appreciation because we remember that who we are has a greater impact on others than what we preach or teach from the Scriptures itself. So let's take a moment to pray and seek God's face. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory and honor and praise. We ascribe worth to you today, for you're the only wise God. Besides you, there is no other God. We submit ourselves to your rule of our lives. We accept that Jesus has come to be our Messiah and our Lord, and that the gift of the Holy Spirit indwells in us now. It is by that Holy Spirit that these Scriptures were inspired, and it is by your Holy Spirit that we will be able to receive the revelation that comes from your Scripture. Today, teach us, God. Teach us afresh. Burn our passion afresh for you today. Help us to love you as we love your Word. In Jesus' Master's name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review for today. We're going over the course, Cornerstones of Truth, which is, I believe, the third or fourth course in our bachelor's degree program. We're on session 9 this week, which is the Scriptures, God's Written Revelation. So I pray that you have your study materials and your note-taking materials that you can take notes as we go over the highlights of this week's lesson. There are a few key points that we're going to talk about today, and the first section is going to be the gospel as we see it. We're going to give you several scripture references to see how the Word of God was inspired by God, so we can understand that it was not and it is not something that we come up with ourselves. The principles, if they are correctly applied to our lives, will be divine revelation and inspiration into our lives. So let's begin with our introduction by commenting that God's Word is life-giving. We know that it provides a blueprint for abundant living also. And if we were to read Psalm chapter 19, which your study material pointed you to, Psalm chapter 19, go ahead and make note of that if you have not already reviewed that portion of Scripture. Psalm 19 describes the revelation of God in creation and in His Word, which is, in that time, considered to be the law of the Lord. And as you read those Scriptures, I want you to particularly notice verses 7 through 11. Make note of that. Psalm 19, particularly verses 7 through 11, and you'll see how the psalmist described the revelation of God and His Word. I also like to stress with you, and our study material stress with us, that although men wrote the Scriptures, they did not make them up. The writers were inspired and guided by the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture passage from Peter that you can make note of. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 10. Verse 10 through 12. And I'll read it briefly. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Verse 12 says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have been told to you. Those things have been preached to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So we see in those particular portions of Scripture that it was the Holy Spirit dwelling in the men who wrote the passages of the Scripture that inspired them to write the words that we now call the letters in the books of the Bible. And so that is very important for us because the entire subject matter of this session is that the Scriptures are God's written revelation to mankind. So now let's take a look at this first major heading of our lesson today, which is the gospel as we see it. We're going to review some of Scripture verses about how we got the Bible and what it means to us. And so these following Scriptures that I'm going to give you, they will help to explain what we can learn about the Scriptures. So as we open up our Bibles, as we go through both Old and New Testament Scriptures, whether they're prophecies, laws, poetry, or the Gospels, or the accounts of the Acts, we understand that these words were inspired by God and that we can rely on the inspiration of God through His Holy Spirit to give us correct understanding and revelation. So if you have your blank sheet of paper, take note of these particular portions of Scripture. The first one is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which I'm going to paraphrase what the Scripture text is saying. 1 Timothy 3:16 basically says that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful. All Scripture is inspired. I want you to key on the word inspired, not from our inspiration, but that it was inspired by God. Another Scripture translation says that all Scripture is God-breathed, that God breathed the words into the writers. Another Scripture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, which says, it is the Word of God, not the word of men, for the inspiration came from God. You can also make note of Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, where it says, what Paul taught us was revealed to him by Christ. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, God's word shall never perish. Even though men do, God's word never perishes because God never perishes. Revelation chapter 22 is another reference. Revelation 22, verses 18 through 19. Where it says, we dare not add to the Bible or the Word of God, nor take from it. Psalm 19, verse 11 says, there is great reward in keeping God's commandments or keeping God's Word. Also, Psalm 19, verse 7 says, reading the Scriptures makes us wise. Now, I want you to take time to look at your particular translation of these Scriptures yourself. We have a few more I want to give you. These are where we can look at the gospel passages and see what it meant to the writers, and we can also, as we read them, we see what they mean to us. Let's continue. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11, which says, the word of God helps us to avoid sin. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, we remain pure by following the Scriptures. Scriptures can be interpreted as holy writings. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 speaks to the fact that healthy Christians are hungry for the Word of God or hungry for the instruction of the Lord. We can see also in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, that obeying God's Word makes us prosperous, and successful. Hallelujah. And one final scripture reference we're going to give you in this section is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, above all, it leads us to Christ and salvation. So these are all some of the things that we need to know and understand about the scriptures as we read it from those who wrote the scriptures themselves. They spoke to us that it was God's written revelation, that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some cases it said they were inspired by Christ, in the case of Paul. So we realize, friends, that the gospel as we see it now is the inspiration and the revelation that came from God himself through his Spirit or through the revelation of Jesus Christ to those who wrote the scriptures. Now, we also have an exercise sheet that we're going to go over with this next session of our lesson. And again, if you're studying by distance education, online or by mail, you can contact us at the school email address and we'll send you a copy of the exercise sheet. But you can also go ahead and get a blank sheet of paper or some type of note-taking material as we go through these four questions that are on our exercise sheet for this lesson. And again, we're studying from the course Cornerstones of Truth, which is biblical doctrine or Bible doctrine. We're on session 9, which is talking about the scriptures, God's written revelation. So far we've talked about how the Word of God is life, and we looked at some of the ways in which the gospel writers saw the words that were given to them as inspired and given to them by God or inspired by his Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at our exercise sheet now. Our first of four questions is this. So we have four Gospels, and if you've been studying along with us, the Gospels are the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But yet we see that Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, that there is only one true Gospel. How do we explain this, or how can this be? Again, the question that we're stating to you is that we have what we commonly refer to as four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but yet in Galatians 1 and 8, Paul says there is only one true Gospel. So let us explain what this means. If you went through your study guide and looked at the examples of the totality of scriptures, we understand that the four Gospels that I mentioned to you are called the Gospel according to Matthew, the Gospel according to Mark, the Gospel according to Luke, and the Gospel according to John. Now, each gospel tells the same story about the life, teachings of Christ, but they tell it from a different viewpoint. They do not give us four different gospels. So what Paul preached that the same gospel that Matthew and the other three gospel writers wrote about, this is the only true gospel. This is the only true message of good news that we can rely on. For the word gospel means good news, and the good news was directly pointing to the life and the ministry and the teachings of Jesus Christ. So he says, this is the only true gospel. So he said that anyone who preaches or teaches a different gospel will be eternally condemned in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. So that is why we can explain what Paul meant in Galatians as he referred to. Even though we have four different accounts of the gospel, there's only one true gospel because every account of gospel points to Jesus Christ. The second question we want to look at today is found in Psalm chapter 53, verse 1, where we will find these words, there is no God. So why do we not accept as true this statement, even though it is in the Bible? Well, we need to understand the principles of biblical interpretation, which helps us to understand statements like this correctly. There's a great misleading taking place when people do not rightly divide the word of truth. So let's understand briefly about this, and if you have not already studied the course, depending on how far you are, you'll get to a course entitled How to Study the Bible, which will give us more into the interpretation of scriptures. But here's what our study guide brought to your attention I want to bring back to your remembrance now. To interpret a scripture verse correctly, We need to examine what goes before the scripture and what comes after it. In other words, we need to study it in context. No verse should be interpreted by itself without comparing it with the rest of the Bible. In this case, the Bible reads in context, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So you see, if we were not to use the scripture correctly and give the correct understanding, someone who would just hear that statement would say, even the Bible says there is no God. But what the Bible reads is that only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So it is telling us that anyone who says there is no God is talking like a fool. So I hope you understand how we must also make sure that as we study the scriptures, as we preach from the scriptures, as we live the scriptures, that we understand them in the proper context by comparing it with the rest of the Bible. A third question that we want to look at in our exercise sheet as we examine this course about the scriptures, God's written revelation, is this. If you were going to a foreign land to start life over, and if you could take one book only, what would it be? And let's expand it further. If you could take three other books, making four altogether, what three additional books would you take? So there's no right or wrong answer per se. It's asking you personally. I pray that one of the books that you would certainly take would be the Bible. And the lesson suggested three other books that may be helpful for you besides having the Bible is maybe a Bible dictionary or a dictionary, perhaps what's called a Bible concordance and a Bible commentary. And the reason why the lesson suggested not only the Bible, but perhaps these three other books, and there may be other books that you may choose that will help you. Also, the premise is that you're going to be going to a foreign land and you want to be able to explain the gospel to others. So some students may choose other good books. And I want you to make a note in your own notes about some of the books that you think that you would take with you and discuss the importance of having the Bible in written form, where which you can refer people to the scripture passages and then they can examine the scriptures for themselves or search the scriptures for themselves. And this is the beauty of what we are experiencing now with our studies through the Bible College. Each and every one of us may have different versions of the Bible, but we are all able to refer to the certain scripture passages, which is why we use scripture references to point you to certain things in scripture so that we can all have the common knowledge, common wisdom, common understanding of what God says to us all. So it is very important, especially for us who are studying in the Bible College, that we have the Bible in written form. Therefore, it doesn't change based on what people want it to say. We just have to accept and understand what has been written for us. Because if we only had our memory things to share the Bible instead of a written copy, that could sometimes become unreliable because one person's memory is not as good as another person. So some things may get left out and some things may be added to. And so that's why it's important for you to think about that question, that if you were to go to a foreign land but only could take one book, what one book would you choose and what three other books would you take with you? Our fourth and final question that we're going to ask in this lesson review is this. What Bible verse has been especially helpful to you in your Christian experience? This is a personal question that more than likely will be different for each and every one of us. What Bible verse has been especially helpful to you in your Christian experience? Now, for me, it is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10, which basically says, "For by grace am I saved through faith, not of myself, just the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast." In fact, my entire ministry is based around that premise of that scripture, which is called Amazing Grace. Now, each and every one of you, I want you to take time to think about that and write down that scripture passage. A lot of times our ministries, if and when God calls us into ministry, service for him, a lot of times it is based around that the scripture that speaks most to us. At least I know it was true and is true in my particular case. And I found that it may be true for many others. So what Bible verse, again, has been especially helpful to you in your Christian experience? We'll just write that down and take time to think about that for just a moment. So as we studied this lesson, which we're talking about the scriptures, God's written revelation, that it has been written for all of us to search, to teach, to examine, to preach from, to see the example of what the scriptures were, the scripture writers were in. And I also want you to imagine what would it be like if there was no written revelation of the scriptures. We would simply have to rely on the oral traditions, which sometimes can change based on the person who's telling the story. But we're so thankful, I pray we should be thankful, that we have the scriptures, that we have the written revelation of God, that we can study and teach and preach from and use as an example for life. So in conclusion, students, I like to stress that the scriptures are free from error in their original form. Even though some of the words may be different, there are different translations, you may find slight differences between the different versions, but none of these differences affect any important doctrine. In this course, we have chosen to use primarily the New International Version in order to reach a broad audience. However, we cannot say that any particular Bible version is perfect. So it is always good to compare one version with another. Some people read what they call a parallel Bible, which has four different versions of the Bible in one book, side by side with each other. You may find that helpful for your studies as well. So it's always good to compare other versions. If you have questions about what one version may say, to consider the merits of each one in light of good scholarship. Remember, studying things in context. And I also like to mention to you that not all of the acts and ideas recorded in scriptures were inspired by God. For example, there are some books that are the history books where they are simply given an account of what happened in the history of God's people. One example of this is the Bible records that Cain killed his younger brother Abel. But this does not mean that the Lord approved this or that the Bible teaches this. We need to also understand that according to the same scripture that God punished Cain. You can see an example in Genesis chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. So, again, it's all about getting the correct context of Scripture, understanding of the right meaning and understanding and what things are teachings and what things are simply the accounts of the Scriptures or the prophecies of the law. So the poetry books of the Bible, you will learn more about these if you have not already studied that particular course. So it is the writing itself that is inspired by God. It is not the deed that is inspired. So in the case of Cain killing Abel, that was not inspired of God, but we know that that was the result of sin entering into the world. And sin brings about death. Also, I want you to note that most Bibles today include 66 books. But there were some earlier versions of the Bible, and you may still find some versions of the Bible with more, because they may include a book called the Apocrypha, which means secret or hidden things. Now, although the apocryphal books include some helpful historical information, they were not regarded as inspired by the writers, the most Jewish or Protestant scholars. And again, I'd like to say with you that there is nothing that would be contained in the apocryphal books that would change the overall essence of what the message of the gospel is, which centers around Jesus Christ, not around history, not around the specific the incidents of the Bible, but Jesus Christ is the central figure of the scriptures, the Messiah. So let's not lose sight of that and get caught up with different books and different teachings. All scripture, if it is inspired of God, will point us to Christ, his Messiah, our Savior, and Lord. So right now, students, I want each and every one of you to take a moment. Just close your eyes and be silent for a minute. And as you do this, I want you to think of what the scriptures mean to you personally. Think about how it may have inspired you or provided encouragement for you, or how it may have been used as a teaching or preaching platform to inspire others. And as you think about that, I want us to go ahead and pray now as we conclude this lesson. Let us pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the written revelation of God's Word, which is called the Bible. Let us thank Him now, students, that we can all examine these scriptures all these years later, thousands of years, and they still speak truths that are relevant to our lives today. Father, we thank You, we praise You today, for You are the living Word. Your Word lives in us, and it makes us alive, and we thank You for it. We thank You for the inspiration that comes through Your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writers of the Scriptures, inspires us to live the Scriptures today, to understand the Scriptures, to preach and to teach the Scriptures. So, Lord, we thank You, and we praise You for the wonderful gift of Your Word. May Your Word continue to inspire us, to illuminate our understanding, to reveal Your ways to us more clearly. And we thank You for every student who studied the Scriptures. May it become real to them. May it become alive to them. We pray and we ask You these things, and we praise You for this gift right now, in Jesus' master's name. Hallelujah. And amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, students. We've been studying from our course, Cornerstones of Truth. Today we studied session number 9, which is the Scriptures, God's written revelation. I pray that we will continue to enjoy our studies and grow from our studies. I look forward to our session next week as we continue to give praise and thanks to God for His written revelation. Students, thank you for allowing me this time to come into your home. Until our next session, God bless you and greatly enrich you. Good night.